Remember, do not forget. Commentary for the December 4th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for on the day you were born, you were despised. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood, and as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. Ezekiel 16, verses 4 through 6. Throughout the Bible, we are called to remember the tragedies of the past, and just as the stigmata are evidence of the crucifixion always present in Christ's hands and feet, so the marks of tragedies, both personal and corporate, remain present in both mind and body for each of us. We may wonder why the Bible narrative offers an understanding of humanity's experience back to a planet miraculously birthed, cast into the cosmos, a stellar field, given shape and purpose by the voice of God. We were called to a high purpose, to be the image of God, the image of love. One might think that the Edenic paradise God created would be the perfect place for love to thrive. But instead, betrayal and blame spawned in human hearts through the efforts of a deceiver who had lost his place in heaven. If humanity was made in the image of God, the devil committed himself to effacing that image, and to do that, he had to destroy love. When Adam and Eve betrayed the trust God had placed in them, the image began to sour. They blamed everyone for their betrayal, even God. Love would have admitted their failure and with repentance sought forgiveness. But the record indicates they did neither and were driven from the Edenic paradise. Most of their offspring chose to bear the image of the serpent rather than the image of God. And earth eventually became a hellhole, the image of love replaced with the image of Narcissus, caring only for oneself at the expense of all others, enabled the strong to take what they wanted from the weak. We need only look at our own time to get a glimpse of how bad it must have been. It does not take much imagination to understand if the evil of our day was universal, how horrible that would be. We may find it tempting to think that we are more civilized and that an extremely thin and faltering blue line protects us from descent into utter chaos. And we continue to believe this even though flash mobs of looters enter stores with impunity and carry off whatever they wish, assaulting store employees and security guards who attempt to interfere. The Bible tells us that it got so bad in ancient times that God intervened with a flood to put an end to the evil. Only 8 survived that cataclysm. But whether it was 8 or 8,000, once the Noahic flood abated, the problem afflicting humanity remained. Narcissists like Nimrod continued to bend others to their will and even challenged the ability of God to do something to stop it by building the Tower of Babel. Time after time, as he did with Noah and his family, God called out people to live in his image, the image of love. Sometimes he called individuals like Abraham and Joseph. Sometimes he called entire nations, as he did when he called the Israelites out of Egypt. But often, selfishness prevailed, and families and tribes quarreled among themselves and with one another. Abraham's herders fought with the herders of his nephew Lot, destroying their united purpose to follow God's call. Lot's selfishness revealed itself when he chose what he thought was the best of the land for his family and separated from Abraham. That selfishness led him to lose everything, even his wife, and to drunken incest with his daughters, resulting in descendants like the Moabites and Ammonites, who vexed and assaulted the descendants of Abraham, Israel, continually. Whenever Israel saw God as their compassionate sovereign, they prevailed. But whenever they chose to follow in the path of licentious selfishness, like these descendants of Lot, they suffered. Despite that, they rejected the path of love whenever they had a chance to gain by rejecting it, even enslaving their fellow Israelites and seizing their property for themselves. God raised up faithful prophets who spoke out against this evil, but they were often tortured, imprisoned like Jeremiah, or murdered like Isaiah and Zechariah. By the time of Christ's incarnation, they had managed to feel so secure in what they were doing that they defined God in their image rather than the other way around. Therefore, they refused to recognize the image of God in his Son. But the common people, whom they had been oppressing and from whom they extorted their wealth and power, recognized the true image of God, the love and compassion that Jesus brought into the world. And they flocked to him by the thousands, sheep seeking a shepherd. Those who purported to speak for God and represented him as supporting their wealth and power refused to recognize him because he challenged the foundation of their man-made religion. Unable to silence his outpouring of love in any other way, they murdered him. They did not realize that his death would be the ultimate demonstration that the image of God is in self-sacrificial love for others, not in gaining wealth and power according to our selfish desires. Despite the prevalence of self-centered evil in the world, God continues to have those who recognize his true character and seek to emulate that in their lives, even though they might lose their lives in doing so. Most of Christ's apostles, the 11 who remained true to his teachings, followed his example in losing their lives at the hands of those who worshipped wealth and power. Those who followed often did the same. Stephen, a deacon, was stoned to death. Paul, a Pharisee who witnessed and approved of Stephen's stoning, later gave his life for the same cause. Ironically, Paul was stoned outside of Lystra, just as Stephen had been outside Jerusalem, but nonetheless survived the experience, only to be beheaded later in Rome for sharing the good news of God's love for humanity. Paul wrote of his sufferings with floggings, shipwrecks, stoning, and imprisonment. We may think we would be like Paul in the face of such treatment, but too often we are on the side of the persecutors, as Paul once was, unable to see our true state until we have our own experience like he had on the road to Damascus, and we discover how blind we have been to the truth. But giving up the life of the selfish is not without challenge. I have been assaulted and threatened with murder and imprisonment when I was in the military over my faith. Those were frightening experiences, but there were also opportunities to experience miracles of deliverance that impacted my entire life since. One of the most important lessons I had to learn was like Paul's. Corporate religion saves no one. It is only a banding together of individuals who cannot even save themselves. They create dogma in a vain effort to force themselves to be what they think a Christian should be. But in doing so, they betray that they have no understanding of God's character. They think that God, like them, is looking forward to destroying the wicked. But the difference is when we realize that God sent Jesus into this Lazar house of evil and death, not to judge our wickedness, but to save us. But those who claim to represent God today would not even venture to the home of a wicked person, despite the world's need to carry life and love to every corner. In this, they reveal they only want God to leave them alone, to focus on their desires, in lieu of loving others. God was willing to cross a universe because of his love for them, but they are not willing to cross a street for love of their neighbor. But it does not have to be that way. God can change us if we ask him. The one who made us in his image can restore that image. Like restoring a classic automobile, it may be a difficult and engaging process, but eventually our real value will shine through as God's love lights our hearts afire. But in doing so, we should not expect riches, power, and status. Those things reflect man's character, not God's. The Epistle to the Hebrews tells us what we might expect. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Hebrews 11, verses 35 through 39. This is not the faith or the character of selfish greed that prosperity preachers would have us believe in, but it is the character of God. How fortunate we are that it is. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find other commentary podcasts as well as written versions of this commentary and hundreds of others at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.